Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sleva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sleva.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Adam Southey here with my co-host, Justin Sleva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. It's Wednesday. That means we're free talking and we're catching up, checking out what's going on in each other's business. We're also going to talk about some market dictation today. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up and we've addressed those issues in the course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy-to-follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you've got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the training tab, and book a call with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We'll tell you all about our journey. We'll tell you about the course, and then we'll answer any questions you have. The whole thing should take about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's it. There won't be any pushy sales tactics, and at the end of the call, if it's a good fit, great. We'd love to help you get started and see you reach your goals.
Happy Wednesday.
What's going on?
Nothing. Dictation.
Jumping into it, huh?
Is that the same as dictates?
Oh, I don't know. What did I say?
You said market dictation. And I thought dictation was like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Is talking about... what's that called when you do that? I'm not even smart enough to tell you what I'm talking about, but I know what it is in my head.
You can't judge what I say in the first 30 seconds to the show because I don't even know what I say. I say it, it's done, it's out.
Yep. I feel dumb half the time on this show. Like, I feel like... I'm like, God, I know I'm smarter than this.
I have that feeling too. Never in my life have I had such a hard time saying this, an intro or like 30 seconds worth of word. When I say it, I've said it 73 times now.
Yeah, 73.
Still almost have to correct it every time.
Wow. I'm like, the hard thing is the salt to the wound that you get with the extra DMs or the messages. It's like dictation. Ha ha ha. You're going to get later. And it'll probably be somebody with a Google snapshot of Webster's dictionary that says to dictate to. I don't even know what dictate means now.
Yeah, well, there wasn't going to be, but now that you've given them the idea, somebody will.
It'll probably be GERD.
Why are you calling GERD out?
I don't know. He's just on my mind. I hadn't heard from him in a while. I hope he's doing well on the oil rig. I know he got back out in the Gulf. So
yeah, so. I just talked to him. He is doing well.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Glad to hear that. Yeah, man, it's Wednesday. Uh-huh. It's business is kind of crazy this week.
Okay.
And, you know, you always... plan, like if you want to plan a trip or you're going to do something, we talked about bear hunting, you know, last week, and that's where I'm at right now. I'll be back tomorrow evening. But, you know, so I locked down all the consulting so no consulting could take place during that time. Started notifying the title companies that, hey, you can't close. And then they're just like bombarding me with, okay, we can close to, I have like three people trying to close tomorrow. And last, they haven't even sent me the title commitment or the HUD. I'm like, guys, I'm gone 7 days. Do we need to? I'm ready to go. But if you don't, we can do it when we get back. Oh, yeah, well, I'm waiting on title commitment to change the name of here or do this. And don't rush. We got it, guys. We'll be okay. It's only 7 days.
I mean, that's a good problem to have is people trying to sell you their land.
People trying to sell, people trying to buy. Mm. We had three go out, PSAs go out this week as well. So, you know, that's a good thing. I figure I'm going to get like seven offers while I'm gone that I need to either approve or do something. And I don't know if I'm have service.
Or why you are currently gone. So you don't know. You don't know if you currently have service.
I don't know if I currently have. Gosh, this technology thing is weird. Us pre-recording, you know, it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. I could be dancing around with a bear tooth around my neck and like my bear skin rug on my back, like around the fireplace, just in the backwoods of Alaska or Canada.
I was gonna make it weird.
I've been trying to. It's my life, man. I live in a weird zone.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But you stay around. Like you said, hey, let's do this together.
I don't know.
You're lucky I didn't make you hold my hand the whole time we recorded the podcast.
Wow.
We could have done it.
Like I said, always got to make it weird.
We could have done it next to each other. Like when you're right-handed though, you're not left-handed. Because that would be cool if you were left-handed. We could sign our purchase agreements at the same time, but you could write with your left, I'd write with my right, and we could hold hands.
I want everyone listening to take note of the odd things he says and I deal with. And
he stays. So take note of that. Like you all have a choice in life. You can be friends with somebody or not be friends with somebody.
Yeah.
But he stays my friend. Mm-hmm. He has that choice. Mm-hmm. 20 plus years.
Around there, yeah. So tell me about your land business.
Oh, man. So here's a fun one. Fun fact. Talked Monday's episode about a property that we had that had been on the market for 70 days. We got an offer on it. Wasn't a super high offer. It was kind of disappointing, but it's funny. When you get in some of these niche markets or these little, let's call them haulers, that everybody knows everybody, and everybody's probably somebody's cousin. So we list a property, and it's a kitschy, cool property. It's beautiful out there. We knew the property probably had a little bit of hair on it, a little bit of mold in the cabin, maybe trash. We didn't really know, but troubled past. Guy we bought it from, life sentence in prison. A daughter sold it to us. He wanted her to offer it to the family first. Nobody in the family wanted it. We put it on the market. Family member calls me. Didn't know they were a family member. And they said, hey, I've been on that lake before. I had some family that had a couple cabins right there. And I was like, oh, great. She goes, what's the name that people you bought it from? And she goes, is it so-and-so or so-and-so? And I'm like, no. It's this one that, you know, the dad got in a little bit of trouble. So the daughter sold it to us. And he goes, is the daughter's name so-and-so? I'm like, no, that's not right. So she goes, okay, cool. I'm going to come down. I'm coming down from wherever to go look at the property. And so she comes down, looks at the property. That she's supposed to come down on Saturday to look at the property. It's water access only property. So we know it's kind of weird anyways. It's not something we typically do, but it's just too pretty to pass up there. I mean, this area is beautiful. The seller we bought it from calls and says, hey, I got somebody in the family decided they wanted the property. We've had the property on the market 70 days now. So we're not doing anything, you know, funny. We've already 30 days to close. We're 100 days into this property. And she goes, well, what do y'all want for it? We said, well, it's listed for, you know, 50. Huh. We get a call back. The lady goes, sends me pictures, and she says, it's just bad out here. It's bad. She took better pictures than our photographer did. Like, I mean, of everything bad with the properties. Like, everything. I got to learn what a timber rattler was. You knew what that is?
Well, I do now, because okay. We've already talked about this.
So I assumed it was a rattlesnake of some sort, but I've never heard them called timber rattlers. And apparently, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, podcast land, but according to her, they're more rare than getting struck by lightning to see one. And apparently our outhouse on our cabins had like a 6-foot long one underneath it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, I hate snakes. Burn it down.
Exactly.
Burn it down. She's like, there's a lot of trash here, Justin. I said, well, we knew it was going to be bad. We just didn't know. I said, it's a perfect place for a weekend to get away and clean it up, burn it all, and you got a great compound. Mm-hmm. And so she's just like, we told you it's a handyman special. She's like, yeah. Man, it's just really rough out here. And you know, they draw the lake down 3 months of the year. And I said, yeah, there's four beautiful cabins right next door because there's beautiful cabins on both sides of it. I was like, they have to deal with that too. Mm-hmm. You know, you're singing to my heart. She goes, yeah, you know, that my cousin, she's the one that sold it to y'all. Well, now it's cousin. She didn't know who she was now, but now it's cousin. And she offered like $1,000 more than we paid for it. And it's like, I'm sorry, but no. I want you to have it. You've been around it. You know about it. This is your people. This is your place. I want you to have it, and I'll make a deal with you. I'm not doing it at $1,000. And so we came to terms. We're going to end up making, I don't know, 25%, 30%, maybe 35% of our money. We negotiated a little bit, got it down to where it's less than I wanted to make off of it, less than, you know, we probably should have made. But at the same time, it's going back to the family.
Yeah.
And it needed to be somebody that knew what kind of property it was.
Mm-hmm. When the person you bought it from called you and said, oh, the family member wants it now, did you feel any kind of, like, I don't know what the word, like maybe
guilt?
No, not guilt, but like, oh crap, you know, here comes, now I feel obligated to sell it back to this person or they're going to make my life miserable.
No.
No.
And the reason is because I didn't talk to him.
You didn't talk to who?
That person. I bought this property with my older brother. He wanted to mm-hmm. get into some land flipping, so we bought this one. And so he's kind of managing it a little bit. He managed that mailer mm-hmm. so he could get a taste of what the mailers felt like. Mm-hmm. And so he was the one that had the relationship with the seller originally. I just listed it through all my channels mm-hmm. and then had money in it. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah, I wouldn't have felt bad either. It's like, especially because you you said that the seller reached out to her family. No one wanted it. And then you went through title. And then you've had it for
70 days on the market.
Yeah. And so, but I still would have, there's a part of you that was like, well, it is a family member, well, you know?
Exactly. That's why we negotiated down to the point. I mean, we're talking property should, probably should have brought 8 to 10 more. But with all the action we had on it, I mean, this property has gotten 3 times the views and hits and leads and inquiries than any other property I've ever gotten. Like, it's like for the same time period, it's like a 6-to-1 ratio. So it's unreal the amount of traffic this property's gotten, but they haven't pulled the trigger. And whether that was water access was the issue, the handyman special on the cabins, you know, whatever that is, I don't know. But it leads me into this, that the market always dictates. Like, it doesn't play favorites to you or to me. The market dictated what this would do. Mm-hmm. Now, if I would have listed it for, you know, closer to what we took for it, so we listed it for 69,000 off the bat, dropped it to 59, still got plenty of action, dropped it to 49, hoping we get somebody to take it before summer. Still nobody. That's where the lady found it and called us, but she didn't know that she was family members at that point. She was ready to buy at 49. We end up selling it for 22.5. So it's a huge swing in price. Knowing that she's family is the only reason we went down that low.
What was she ready to buy it at 49?
She drove from Indiana to it, and she drove, it's a 5-hour trip, found a way to get across the lake and get on it.
Yeah, I see that tactic with a home. Yeah, I'll pay $50,000. You go look at it, oh, this home is trash, but I don't know how trash can land really be.
Well, the thing hadn't been inside of for 5 years, and you could see where some of the windows had blown open, and there was stuff all over the beds. There was like canned goods just thrown on the floor. There was like 13 TVs and AC air conditioners and stuff just set in the front, one of the living rooms. It had some, it needed a couple weekends of cleanup.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the market dictated for us. Nobody was pulling a trigger at 50. Mm. They just weren't doing it. They were wanting to, they were thinking about it, but they never did. She put an offer on the table. Was it lower than we wanted? Yeah. Do we still make money? Yeah. Mm. And that's when one of the big cliches you hear in real estate, your money's made on the buy. Had we paid more for this property, we wouldn't have made any money. Mm-hmm. But we're making a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it a cliche then.
No, makes it real life.
Yeah, you had me at snake.
Yep.
I freaking hate snakes, man.
I'm going to post that picture to our Facebook here. So you'll probably see it before because I'll be out of town when this airs. But I'll post it to it before and we'll tell you to listen to this episode so you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually found a snake in my yard the other day.
You did? That thing was huge.
Yeah, so, we got 2 snake photos to post, man. That thing gave me a heart attack.
Yep.
It always reminds me, too, of like one of my favorite jokes.
Yeah,
there's only 3 kinds of snakes I'm scared of.
Okay.
A live snake, a dead snake, and a stick that looks like a freaking snake.
Oh, man. One of the properties I went and walked in Oklahoma that I bought, I was walking through just tromping along, and this big old bull snake was letting it right out sun in front of me. I go, oh my God, I took off running, went back to my Jeep, and I was like, I'm going to, got some pictures, I'm good.
I still get the shivers thinking about that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, that's good. At least you didn't lose money on that deal. I mean, we're here to make money, and that's what you did. So.
No, the money will go back to work, plus a little bit of profit. That'll pay for another 20-acre property we already have under contract. So and we'll be own that one for free. It makes 2 to 3 times on its money, and we'll keep rolling. I mean, that's the snowball about this.
Yeah. Now, if you just would have done the snowball with that one property we talked about a few weeks ago.
Punch you in the throat.
That wasn't this property, was it?
No, this one wasn't it. I hadn't heard anything on that property. I got to do something with it, but I'm kind of letting everything sit while I'm out of town and just do what it does. But we did hit on something there, market dictation. You know, you mentioned it in the intro, or what the market actually dictates. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You actually were a realtor at one time, and, you know, we've talked about early on when we talked about one of the houses I flipped over here, and comps showed 225. It should have been there a couple days on the market. It was 322. It was done right. And we had a bunch of offers between 185 and 190. And we ended up selling it for like 194, 195. But we had 3 or 4 months extra holding cost. You know, the market was telling me what it should be bringing. And maybe I wasn't listening.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say what you just said, right? I mean, that something's only worth what people are willing to pay for it.
Preach, man. Preach.
I mean, like for that house that you're talking about, for example, like the comps said it should sell for, you know, 210, 220.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the market told you.
No, they screamed at me.
Yeah, they really did. And it kind of shows like this piece of land that you're talking about too. You know, you had it started at 70, right?
Moved 69.
Moved it down to 60. 49.9.
Went to 49.
And then...
And the market was still interested.
Well, I mean, yeah, there was interest there, but no one's making offers. So I guess, so they're telling you right there that, you know, it's...
They didn't pull the trigger. Right. So, and that's my whole thing about it is sometimes your price is so good that people pull the trigger fast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the market's, you put it out there and the price is right and they tell you. But you can't outthink the market. No matter what CRM or what assessor value, whatever you have says, the market is what the market is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's a hot market, you know, people may be willing to pay more. Yep. As it slows down, you're going to have to adjust with it.
Yep. So you got any stories like that on you that you just thought something was going to be a home run and it didn't work?
Besides the Oklahoma deal I did, but...
Well, that's not because of the market.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking market related. You know, I had a consultant client there today and... They had a deal, I think they gave, and I hope they don't mind me telling their story. I didn't ask them if I could, but I'm not going to put their name out there. But they paid $20,000 for a property, put it on like Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace for $35,000, $40,000, and they went under contract in like a day for $35,000, make $15,000 profit. They got a bunch of calls from people saying, hey, you know how much land is worth up there? You've got it priced too low. So they got out of that contract, relisted it for $55,000 or $56,000 and hadn't heard anything. And now they're sitting on the deal.
Yeah, I don't know this person. I'm not trying to put anyone on blast. That's not what I'm trying to do. But how they can get out of the contract?
I'm not sure. I don't know the technicals it's supposed to say. I said, well, you had under contract. You're going to make $15,000 and you had 20 in it. Why didn't you do it? And they're like, well, they told us it was worth more and it's kind of one of our first bigger deals. And that my rebuttal to that was, hey, here's my house story. Let me tell you about this. The market dictates what it is. And, mm-hmm. You know, I've got a property right now that we've been sitting on a little while. We knew the snow was where it's at. And we're in it for, say, 10, and I've got, like, three offers sitting on a table between $18,000 and $22,000. We have it listed for $40,000. Mm. It's really worth $40,000. We've got a timber cruise value on it of $40,000. But, you know, the market's only telling us they're willing this much because they're neighbors of it. And they're like, oh, we know what you paid for it. We've already looked at the county website. And it's just one of those things. It's like, well, do I take the 10 and run, or do I try to hold out? Since that one property that I talked about, the two, right, in that short period where I had a week of a lapse of judgment, and I didn't. Now I'm kind of like, let's get a profit and let's go. We can refresh our inventory. Mm-hmm. We've made money, and we keep moving.
Yeah. I mean, on that one, too, if you're in it at 10, you got offers between 18 and 22.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yep.
So.
No, that was, again, since I'm out of town for the week, I'm like, hey, tell them they offered us 17, tell them 20. See what they come back. We had an offer at 18. I'm like, hey, get them to 20, but we need to take at least 18. Mm-hmm. Let's get it and go. Mm-hmm. We both have a partner on that one. It's with Plum. So, I mean, we both walk away with $4,000 in our pocket.
Well,
$5,000 in our pocket after closing.
That'll feed you for a month or so.
That'll feed me for a month.
Yeah.
So I'm cheap.
Yeah, that's for feed you a little. I don't know about that, but.
Not feed. It'll actually pay all the bills for a month. So. But what else is going on? I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, that's okay.
What you got?
Well, I mean, I haven't been, you know, like I said last week, you know, we're working on some big stuff here at Casual Fridays, so mm-hmm. I didn't do a mailer. But as things always work out, you know, you get so much mail out there that properties still come back.
Yep.
You know, so I picked up another 40 actually today.
Okay.
While we're talking, and it was I'm pretty happy about it. It's a good one. You know, I negotiated back and forth this guy, like, well, I wouldn't even really call negotiating because my price was 7. Mm-hmm. He wanted more. I said mm-hmm. no. So he brought his price down. I still said no. Then he went away for a few weeks. And then he came back and said, okay, I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
And so I haven't been doing anything. It's just previous mail, and I had forgotten about it, and it just comes back. And, you know, I bought it for 7. I think I'll sell it for 20. I'm going to list it for 21.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm not mad about it.
No, I like that. That'll pay the bills.
Yeah.
I got a negotiation one that's for you. This happened this last week. It was pretty funny. So I tell the guy, hey, I'll give you this. And he's like, hey, I really need you to get me X. And so the difference in what we were talking about was $300. And he's like, it made it sound more to him. I was like, hey, I'll give you $35,000 even. He goes, well, no, I want this over that. And he's like, I want $6,000 over what you're telling me. And I was like, okay. It was like $35,313, just because that extra six sounded better in his head. You got it. You win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. So I thought it was funny.
People are just weird.
Hey, everybody's got their thing, man. Mm-hmm. Round numbers sound better.
Yeah, they do sound better, yeah.
So.
Well, what do you say? I think we said enough.
This is the Wednesday wrap-up?
This is the Wednesday wrap-up, yeah.
All right.
So what do we do in the wrap-up? We tell everyone to go to Facebook, yep. Go to Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, and then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. We appreciate it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. See you Friday.
Thanks.